Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Later on in the show, Mario Melchior will be here as we'll be discussing that fascinating Champions League draw. But we'll kick things off with something which is genuinely interesting, and that is Girona. Back to the top of La Liga table. They're in action on Monday, taking on Alaves. A very comfortable win for Michel's side, winning by 3-0. And what that means, that they go back top, clear of Real Madrid. They are now 9 points ahead of defending champions Barcelona. Julien Laurent joins us. We'll speak to Jules in a moment, but Stevie, when you think about these sort of matches and you think about any sort of complacency or believing your own hype, this is a possible banana skin, isn't it? Alaves, near Christmas, no problem though.
Well, obviously, the Girona players and coaching staff and everybody else weren't listening or thinking anything that we thought. I mean, it was a comprehensive victory. And the one thing I had coming into this game in my head was, right, they know that they have to win this game to go top of the league. And so every time they win, the expectation changes. And when the expectation changes and the pressure starts mounting up, can you produce the sort of football that you've been producing when it's under the radar?
Yeah.
Well, you could argue it's Alaves, but I tell you what, it was absolutely clinical, it was dominant, it was easy peasy. I mean, just, it looked like a team that could actually win this thing.
That's exactly the point, isn't it, Ali?
Absolutely. And just for a point of comparison, Alaves, the same Alaves team that we saw today that Girona were so far superior, this same Alaves team went to Barcelona and scored within a minute and really took the game to Barcelona. And had they been better in front of goal, they should have won the match. Barcelona ends up coming back, wins the match 2-1. But just as a point of comparison, you kind of go, Girona is beating the teams that they're supposed to beat and doing so convincingly, with personality, with quality of play, with possession, scoring goals, creating opportunities, looking very solid in the back. And Barcelona, against this very same version of Alaves, is a struggle. It's a grind. Everything is hard work. And getting 3 points seems like such a distant thing for Barcelona. Whereas for Girona, it's sort of second nature at this point. Yeah. You look at the performance today, and I agree wholeheartedly with Stevie, looks like a team that is far better than most other teams in La Liga. That was the sort of quality of performance that we saw today. It wasn't about the pressure. It was so much more about their quality of play and their belief in what they're doing and the plan that Michel, the manager, is putting out on the field.
Right then, Jules. Let's try and keep it simple, shall we? If you had to bet now, who's finishing higher, Girona or Barcelona?
Oh, that's tough. Girona, they've got 2 games to go before we reach the halfway point of the season. They could be 50. And the next 2 games are Betis away and then Atletico at home. So then they're tough games. But still, 50 points halfway through the season, that's what Atletico when they were champions. It's incredible, really. Can they keep it up? I think they can keep it. Barca could improve enough to catch them and things like that. So I will, right now, I'm so disappointed by what I see from Barcelona overall. Even if the game at the weekend was not too bad, in the end they dropped 2 more points. So I would say that, you know what, I think Girona would probably finish higher up now.
Do you agree?
Well, you just can't go in a different direction. Girona just destroyed Barcelona last weekend. So it's hard to overlook that. It's hard to kind of think of historically what Barcelona has been and then somehow contrast to what they are now. And what we saw between Girona and Barcelona, Girona going to Barcelona and beating Barcelona, and rightfully so, you have to say, based on the evidence in front of us, not on history, not on talent, not on paper, but what we see in front of us, you have to say that Girona looks like a team that has an identity, that has a plan in place, and is able to execute that plan. With all of that in mind, yeah, I pick Girona right now over Barcelona. You have to. From what we see, you have to do it.
I mean, it's 9 points now.
Yes.
And quite honestly, I would, if I was to predict, I would predict that Girona definitely wins at the weekend. And I'm not sure that Barcelona can win. So there's another 2 points. So now we're talking about 11 points.
Yep.
I mean, so You got to go with Girona.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Aye.
It's absolutely crazy, but it's fantastic as well at the same. If you take a look at the title odds overall, Real Madrid remain at favourites, but Girona, of course, with that victory, are now 9-2. This is a team, we're going to hear this a lot, I know, but 10,000-1 at the start of the season to win. Barcelona at 9-1, Atletico Madrid at 12-1. Is Jules back with us? Have we got Jules the connections back? Okay, Jules. All right. Say you'd put $100 on at 10,000-1, yeah? If I was to offer you now, so that would win you $100,000. If I was to offer you $10,000, would you give me that ticket?
I mean, again, I think they have been amazing in this first half of the season. We said they're on course for a 50-point halfway season, which is incredible. And they don't have European competition, of course. And if they're clever in the transfer market in January, Pep Guardiola and all that team are going to invest a little bit there and there to just strengthen that squad. Mitchell is doing a great job. The momentum is great. They have no injuries or not much injuries at all. So I think they can really go all the way and push Real Madrid, especially Atletico, maybe Barca. No, I think we can all agree to that now. But could they still beat Real Madrid to it? I'm just not sure. I just think this Real Madrid side, even without all the players that they have missing, no Vinicius, yeah, no Courtois, no Militao, no Alaba on top of it, I still think that Real Madrid will do it. So I'll probably be...
You'd sell it.
Not believing right now that they're going to win the title.
I'll take the ticket. Because, as Jules rightly says, the issue that the chasing pack have, Barcelona have got their problems. Mm-hmm. Atletico Madrid cannot do anything away from home. Mm-hmm. And Real Madrid are bare bones and then some, especially at the back, David Alaba out. And obviously, they could reinforce in January. Mm. But it's difficult to see them continuing without picking up more injuries in the way because they're going to be so stretched.
Yeah, and look, if you're looking to make a case for Girona, all the signs point towards, you know what? This could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to see it happen this way, in which is injuries for Real Madrid and how stretched they become. But you can see the signs. And you don't have to look too far to see the signs and figure out, you know what? I think it may just be possible. The issue is, it's Real Madrid.
Sure.
It's Real Madrid. And it's still Girona. And in the one game that we have seen them play against each other this season, Real Madrid went to Girona and really made a statement of being superior, a statement
but
of power.
They've only got to play them one more time.
Yeah.
And after that defeat, they bounced back and put in a great run of form.
Well, they have. And see, Dan, you don't have to convince me. I know this is possible. I can see it. But it's one thing to get myself to kind of put Barcelona to the side because, again, we have seen it on the field and the evidence is very strong against Barcelona because of their lack of consistency. But it's hard to take that jump over Real Madrid because I think Real Madrid hasn't given us reasons to say they're falling apart.
Sure.
Actually, I can make the argument from the other side. With all their injuries, Real Madrid are still there.
Well, since Vinicius Jr. got injured, they got better.
And Vinny is coming back and you assume that they're going to make some moves in the winter market and the transfer market because they have to defensively, they have to find other names that can play a role for them. Real Madrid is too much. And the pressure, which we cannot account for, and it's something that is not quantifiable, the pressure on Girona, mm-hmm, and Stevie alluded to it, once this becomes a realistic chance, once this becomes not a cute story, but a real story, how does Girona react? And we don't know how that reaction is going to be. We know how Real Madrid react under pressure. We don't know about Girona.
Yeah, the stress. I mean, but again, we can only go by what we're seeing on the field,
yeah,
though. At the end of the day, you know, we understand, yeah, that when it comes closer to the end, the stress, because it's basically stress. But the way this team plays, they play without any stress.
Right.
It doesn't matter the opposition or the situation. They knock it around and get it about. And it's all, you know, they're not relying on Klopp, rock and roll, closing people down at 100 miles an hour or sitting on the edge of their box defending for their lives like Man United against Liverpool. They just have a way of playing that's, it seems stress-free. And if you can play stress-free when it comes to the big moments, then you're more likely to execute. I mean, again, I'm the same. I'm not ready to have them jumping over Real Madrid. Mm. But I tell you what, I'm not far off.
Jules, Ali mentioned it. How active do you expect Real Madrid to be then in the market in January, considering the injuries, especially at the back? A centre-back would be a priority. I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if Sergio Ramos went back after apologising to Sevilla and then turning his back on them to return to Real Madrid?
Yeah, I'll go for Girona now.
There'll be tears galore. But you take a look at this, was obviously the injury list with Alaba involved as well, Jules. They need defence reinforcements, don't they, in January? It's not a debate.
Yeah, for sure, and they know it. They will go for it. I believe they already had a meeting about it. It was already, even before the Alaba injury, a question mark within the club about strengthening in January defensively. Now that he's out, a big blow for him, for the team, of course, for the club. They will definitely go there. You could look into the reserve team, of course, into the youth team, but this is such, as we've been saying, not just for the title race against Girona and maybe Atletico, but also in the Champions League, it's a priority. So someone like Scalvini, who they really like, who will be expensive, of course, at Atalanta, who is a wonderful young player, they might go for youth. So even when Alaba comes back and Milito comes back, you still have a bit of time to make that young player improve, and then the partnership of the future is a Militao and this new younger player, for example. But I think they are ready to go anywhere, as long as it's a good, solid defender that can come in straight away and have a positive impact on the team. So I don't think that they've decided yet on the budget and the money. It would really be much of like, where are we going to go and how much those players cost, depending on age, experience, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But for sure, one defender will come, maybe even two, to be fair.
I mean, I guess this is for Jules. Would somebody like Thiago Silva be out of the question?
Mm. No, you're
considering who's injured and you obviously want them back and you think you're going to get them back, you know, they're not going to go and spend crazy money on somebody. Mm. Are they going to take a chance on a kid? Or how about you get Thiago Silva, who you know for 6 months could be the perfect answer? Maybe can't do the 100 metres in 10 seconds, but I'll tell you what, everything else about his game, I think is perfect for Real Madrid.
Jules?
Yeah, I think there's clearly two options here. Either you go for that kind of experience on a short-term deal, which players of a certain age will accept. It's playing for Real Madrid. It's a dream. Everybody dreams to play for them, especially on a very positive season like this one looks like to be. Or you go for younger, probably more expensive, on a longer contract. And like I said before, you almost prepare the future partnership will be Eder Militao and this younger player, and not so much Rudiger and Alaba, who are obviously older now, than those two. It really depends. I think it depends, TV. It's a really good question. It depends a lot on availability, of course, as always. Right. Would you go and spend, I don't know, 60 million and 70 on Scalvini? I'm not so sure. If you can get a kind of a stopgap option, I don't mean it in a bad way, like a Thiago Silva, for example, with that kind of experience. Maybe that's what they would rather do.
Does that make sense, Al?
Well, from Thiago Silva's perspective, yes, yes, please, come and get me, please. Yes, and I actually do think that the profile of Thiago Silva is far more likely than the profile of a younger player. Because Antonio Rudiger, for all the qualities that he has as a defender, you need him, you need somebody next to him that can direct.
Right.
He's about instinct, he's about physicality, he's about fight, but you need somebody who says, hey, Antonio, don't get crazy. Come over here.
Right?
We need a little bit more experience.
And because he's Thiago Silva, he has that gravitas as well, problem.
Absolutely. And it's a profile of a player that can organize, can still defend, can still cover passing gaps. But if you need somebody to run, he's got Rudiger next to him who can run. That, I think, makes a lot of sense.
I tell you, if this deal happens, we should get some commission on it.
Yes, indeed.
Maybe we. Me. What do you mean we? What's this we part?
Oh, we all supported you, Stephen.
I'll buy you a pint, don't worry.
All right, well, that'll be a first. Thank you very much. Kike Sanchez Flores, this was all in the press, wasn't it, at the weekend. It was confirmed today that he is the new coach of Sevilla. He's had quite the career, hasn't he, on the bench when you take a look at his resume. He's in Sevilla for now. Of course, it has not been a good season for them up to this moment. In La Liga, then, just a reminder of the team that he's taken over. Sevilla currently sitting just above the relegation zone. Action then continues all this week on Tuesday. Atletico Madrid against Getafe. Sevilla's first game under Kike Sanchez Flores away against Granada. And on Wednesday, Barca trying to turn the ship around. They're at home against Almeria. And then Thursday, we'll see Real Madrid away against Alaves. They could go into that game well behind Girona as they're in Seville away against Real Betis. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Right then. The round of 16 draw is normally quite an exciting moment, but really, this is, it's almost as if, like, kind of March Madness-esque, that the teams were seeded 1-16, and then obviously they were with their counter opponent, because you take a look at this and you could pretty much sum that up quite nicely. They all look very one-sided as you go down. Obviously, I suppose Napoli, Barcelona, we'll talk about a couple of the games. Jules and Mario are with us. Mario, what a terrible draw. I'm going to blame you. I don't know why.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You look at this and obviously we can be stoic and kind of like a bit pessimistic about it all, but this is not great.
No.
Right, good. Okay.
Well, it is great, though.
Okay.
It is great from a different perspective. If everything goes the way that we're thinking, then the quarterfinals, let me tell you, that's going to be special.
All right, then. Shall we talk about Napoli and Barcelona?
Sure.
That is the one game.
Well, this is the champion of Spain against the champion of Italy. But both are in a bit of a mess.
So, good. but it's the only game, really, I think, that you couldn't, with in all honesty, hang your hat on a winner, if that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So this is what makes it so attractive. The history of Barcelona, obviously the quality that Napoli showed last year. I mean, the attacking football was off the charts. Not this year, as we can say the same for Barcelona. So that's why it kind of makes it interesting, because we just don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah, I suppose the thing is, Jules, isn't it? Barcelona, we talked about it a lot at the weekend, are not taking their chances. By the time February rolls around, you'd hope maybe they've sorted that out, sorted their defensive frailties out. But you could, I suppose, argue the same for Napoli.
Yeah, that's a good point. He would expect Barca to improve. I mean, it can't be worse than it is now, to be fair, in terms of defensive mistakes that we've seen them making week after week and offensively not taking the chances. So you would expect that side to improve. And then for Napoli, Walter Mazzarri has only been in the job really for a few games, and it's had a really tough start of his stint as a manager after Rudy Garcia. So by February, comes February, you would expect his Napoli side to have improved as well. So this is a 50-51, I think. I really like that tie because I think it's going to be really, really interesting. Obviously, you've got the Osimhen and Kvaratskhelia, you've got Joao Felix and Lewandowski. So you've got pretty much everywhere some really interesting matchups within the two teams defensively against some really good players going forward for either team. So I think it's going to be good. But yeah, you're right. It's just, again, it's early to get excited because in 2 months' time, it could be a very different picture than what we know today about those two teams.
Meanwhile, regular listeners to the Gab and Jules podcast would have heard you crying about Real Sociedad. Come on, Jules, you're PSG.
I didn't cry.
You saw me.
No, listen, it could have been worse. It could have been worse, right? Of course, you don't want to play City, Bayern at this stage. I really like this Real Sociedad team. For me, they were the best team in the group stage of the Champions League. They played the best football against Inter, Benfica and Salzburg. I know they're only six in La Liga. I think the Champions League has impacted massively on what they did domestically. I think they, at times, struggle a bit to play every 3 days. They've had injuries as well. They lack a very clinical, efficient goal scorer for sure, but they've got so much talent. And I just love the way they play, the way they press, the intensity, the way they move the ball as well is great. I think if Japan go all the way, or at least to the final of the Asian Cup, Kubo is probably going to miss because the final of that is on February 10th and the first leg is February 14th. So it's only 4 days between the final of the Asian Cup and this first leg. And without Kubo, it's not the same. But that's what I was saying. I just really like this Real Sociedad team. And I just don't think it's an easy, straightforward, big win for PSG. A PSG team that, again, Luis Enrique expect to be better in 2 months. But right now, it's not very good. Let's be honest.
Real Sociedad got a fighter's chance?
I think they do because of their ability to hang on to the ball. They can pass the ball really well through the midfield and in the attacking third. Now, the point that Jules make is well taken, that scoring goals is not their strength. But in terms of that possession, if you can exploit an area where PSG struggles, is having numbers in the midfield and numbers in transition through the midfield. And when you expose PSG in those moments of transition and you expose their inability to defend long periods of possession, then you're going to give yourself an opportunity. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised as to how good Real Sociedad are in possession of the ball and how willing they are to press higher up the field. If PSG are not playing at a high level come February, they may find themselves in trouble.
Meanwhile, we asked Mario which tie he was looking forward to the most. And Mario, you've gone with Leipzig-Real Madrid. What happened?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you go to a team like Madrid, everybody knows, you guys already talked about it, you know, for the ones that are always bringing in crucial surprise. But I think Leipzig is playing some good football. I think if you look in Germany, the way they play, of course, you got Simons there, you understand, one of the Dutch boys. And, you know, like, this kind of thing, for me, the key thing, you know, Penda is also one. Those two guys were in Holland, so that's why it's also different, because they're more highlighted. We get more information regarding what they're producing. And I felt like also when I watched them this weekend, the way they play, those guys are very creative. When they go against a side like Real Madrid, you guys stepped into the defensive side of them, the injuries that are coming. You understand? Seeing an Alba coming off, you know, over the weekend, it's going to make it, I don't want to say it's going to be easier for Leipzig because they have so much trouble at the back, but they first have to settle, make sure they put someone in, you know. The thing what they're talking about is like, who's going to fill those positions? That is the biggest question what Real Madrid has. Regardless if they are, look, they are definitely the favorites and they can handle this pressure. But Leipzig is a team, they play so, you know, like free spirit, in the sense of like they have nothing to lose. And sometimes when you go into games and play Champions League, when you have nothing to lose, those are the best games you can play in.
Just a reminder, Leipzig in midweek action, full programme matches for you on ESPN Plus. Bayer Leverkusen looking to remain top of the table before the end of the winter break. Isn't there a German word for that, Annie?
I do not know it in German.
Oh, no.
Bring in Derek Ray.
Come on, Ali.
I don't have the pronunciation for that.
Give yourself a shake. Leipzig away against Werder Bremen.
The Hinterrunde.
There you go.
There it is. Oh. That's it. Take that.
Someone just told him, yeah.
No, nobody told me. I remember from my classes with Derek.
Then on Wednesday is Bayer Leverkusen against Bochum. Bayern Munich in action as well. Those two games running concurrently on ESPN+. Plus, for a lot more of Jules crying, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. That is available now.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Right then, more on the big game that we saw. Don't make that noise, Ali. It was very tactically fascinating. Liverpool 0.
There was no tactics involved.
Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0. Here's Ten Hag.
Yeah, very proud of this team. And it's... we should do this more often. I said this, for instance, Newcastle was also a tough game. And there we make one mistake and we're switching off. And you concede goal. But when you stay in the game, when you are disciplined in your game plan, then finally it opens up and then you can take your chances. And so if we bring this every game on the pitch, then first of all, we are a hard team to beat. But from that point, we can go and win games, and also big games.
Jules and Mario with us. Mario, obviously people say there, well, you know, United just went there and parked the bus. They were looking for a draw. How difficult defensively is that to actually put into practice at a place like Anfield?
It's very difficult. I think when you go into the stadium, I think, you know, for Steve, it's probably easier to understand this. But when you come in as an opponent, people that play for Liverpool have a different feeling than the ones that come to Liverpool. Like for myself, coming in to that stadium, the noise and everything that gives you real goosebumps. Like we can talk about stadiums, but that stadium is special. So you come on, you know that the fans are going to stand behind them. Then you know you're going to play a game. This is a game, we don't call it the derby, but it's one of the biggest games in England. So this game kicks off. Ten Hag knows he's in the dispute, right? Because people are always watching him really closely. They're like, what's going on in there? He knew that going to Liverpool, the chances of him winning this game was very, very small. So the only thing he was now preparing, what we are not used to, and even including myself, seeing them sit back. If your striker is playing as a midfielder, and it's almost your midfielders are getting tired by hitting on the break and going forward like a McTominay, I saw him breathing and like in a way not of chasing the ball or controlling the tempo of the game, but more like winning balls back. And Højlund, when he got the opportunity, he had a moment when he could really implement his. He hasn't scored yet in England, but he had a chance in the game where he could make the difference because his team was just biding our time every time, holding the ball at the back. Onana was, you know, holding the time or playing it from the back and just killing time. And it started too early for me. But tactically, you know, even if you don't like the game like that, I can understand people that are watching the game. Oh, no, you don't want to watch that. But for the people that have been in situations, like including myself, they held down, they waited, they had opportunity, of course, Diaz moment when they made a tackle, you know, everybody flew in front of him to block the shot, but they stayed and then the handball of Shaw, when the ball hits his hand instead of like him going to the ball, so they didn't give the penalty for that. But just as a game watching, I think Liverpool was always in the upper hand, and I think they must be frustrated because they felt like we wanted to play and Man United had a totally different tactic, and that tactic was, you're not going to beat us, no matter what.
Jules, what's been reaction amongst the Manchester United fans? Is it, look, this is our only option because of what's been going on, because of the personnel we have? Or is it, come on, we're Manchester United, we've spent £1 billion over the last few years, we've got to go there and we've got to try and go toe-to-toe with Liverpool?
I think a bit of both, Dan, really. I mean, some were happy with the point and this in the situation that they were in after the defeat against Bayern and finishing fourth in that group, the humiliation at home against Bournemouth. I think some can understand why you chose a very defensive approach and tactic to go and get a point. You played against Bayern not to lose the game when you had to win it to hope to continue in the Champions League. They were always going to play against Liverpool. And we said it with Stevie on Friday night, I think it was, we were together with Frank. We were saying that we knew they were going to play defensively like that to not to lose the game, not to win the game. Van Dijk said after the game, didn't he? You could feel the frustration in him that there was only one team that played to win, which I agree with him. I don't really like it, but I can understand why Ten Hag chose that tactic before this game. There were other United fans who clearly said, like, we don't park the bus. This is not what we do. And let's not forget that this Liverpool team is not playing at its best yet. They haven't been great this season. They were leaders, of course, but without being exceptional. So, as we saw in the Haaland chance, there was maybe more for United to get had they been a bit more on the front foot, a bit more active, really, with the ball than what they did. Let's not forget that in the first half, they just literally had nothing. They created no shot, just nothing. So, I can understand the both side of even United fans, and I can also understand Ten Hag tactics, although this is not the kind of things I like.
You think Liverpool obviously had all that success, Stevie, and then 30 years without winning the league. At what stage, as a fan, do you accept a big team, Manchester United, heading in the same rut, putting in that sort of performance because they know, really, it's their only option?
Right now. That's when you accept it. Listen, as a coach, you have to do what you've got to do to get a result. I mean, that's just the plain facts. And if you're Manchester United manager and you're used to the swashbuckling Fergie era, but you can't do it, then you can't try and do it.
Right.
They could not in a million years have gone to Liverpool, and I'm sure some Man United fans will still say, well, but we're Man United. But if you want to go and beat 4 or 5, then you go and try and win the game. And go and try and win the game with Johnny Evans at centre-back. No disrespect to Johnny. Mm-hmm. Fantastic player, but he's past his best.
Bit disrespectful.
So you've got to do what you've got to do. And so it's a one-off. But I will say, they're Manchester United, and this has to be a one-off.
Right.
They can't turn up and start doing this everywhere. I mean, they can't. No. The problem is, when they turn up and don't do that,
and they get,
you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So, Ten Hag's in a bit of a quandary, because he, more than anybody else, will know if they open up, they'll lose goals. Yeah. So, what does he do? I can't wait to find out. But you're Man United, and at the end of the day, you can't go everywhere to do that.
Right, Ali, away from Manchester United.
Okay.
What do we learn about Liverpool and their title credentials within this game?
Well, for the first 10, 15 minutes of the match, you kind of go, all right, it's Anfield, it's the energy, it's intensity that you expect. Here we go. Manchester United are barely hanging on. It's only a matter of time before Liverpool take over this game and win this game outright. And then they went flat, really flat offensively. And I think what was most frustrating from a Liverpool perspective is the lack of movement ahead of the ball, the lack of activity ahead of the ball, and their inability to find vertical passes, penetrating passes. It's hard to see Liverpool passing the ball sideways and back as much as they did yesterday against Manchester United. Now, some of that credit to Manchester United and the way that they play defensively and the numbers that they had behind the ball, and their intention was to frustrate. But when Liverpool is playing with a different type of intensity and with movement ahead of the ball, with purpose ahead of the ball, they're difficult to deal with, even if you put numbers behind the ball. That wasn't quite the case for Liverpool over the course of 90 minutes. It was for the first 10, 15 minutes, and then after that, now they're settling for long-distance shots, off-balance long-distance shots. And I remember a play in particular in which Luis Diaz is in a 1v1 situation with Diogo Dalo. Once they have broken through the initial pressure of Manchester United and they actually found some space in transition, it's Luis Diaz on the left-hand side against Diogo Dalo, and most times, more times than not, you would find Luis Diaz getting around Diogo Dalo. And that was just an example of many situations in which you just didn't see enough dynamic movement, enough fire, enough intensity, enough quality in the attack. But overall, just an enough attitude about Liverpool that we come to expect, certainly at Anfield, that wasn't there for the most part in this game.
Let's think about this rationally. In a shock move, a team goes to Anfield, sticks 11 men behind the ball and doesn't give in and away and comes away with a point. Do you think that's never, ever happened at Anfield?
Well, it hasn't happened this season, has it?
And I suppose that's why... Listen, if this had been the third time this season this had happened, then I think you can turn around and start saying, well, there are signs of this, there are signs of that, there are signs of this. You can't use this one game to turn around and see where all the problems are. I said yesterday that they didn't produce going forward.
But what I'm saying,
which is 100% correct.
But, like, against Palace, you said as well, they were by far the second best team until the sending off.
But it's a completely different game, but they still managed to win the game.
Well, I'm just saying, and Jules brought it up, Liverpool aren't at their best at the moment.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying...
The problem is you're going to lose Salah, aren't you? You're going to lose Endo. So it's like, going forward now, to my question that I asked Ali, how does what they've done yesterday affect your thoughts regarding the title chase?
Doesn't. It doesn't affect anything. It's one game.
Go on, Mario.
You know, also, what Stevie just said, it doesn't happen all the time. But you also have to remember, this size of a game, I hope people understand this. This game doesn't get played like this. Normally, Man United comes there, regardless if they don't win the game or they're not in the best form, they go toe-to-toe with them. And this was a game that didn't. So it was totally from the get-go when it started. Regardless if you are a team with all the energy and all the fans behind you, you now face a team that kind of surprises you, while they sit back, wait, and they did not care how beautiful they would play. While Man United normally is a team that will say, like, okay, let's go and let's create goals or system or whatever. They didn't do all that. They didn't care. They just waited and they just bide out the time and hoping that they could, you know, get that goal from what I already highlighted from Hoyland. That's what they were hoping for. But for Liverpool, it was a different situation because they were at home, they were trying, but we didn't see the ferocity what they normally have. I didn't see Salah as producing like he normally has because they were sitting, was too much to break down for him. And Nunes was quiet too. Diaz had a couple of moments to open things up. But that's what I'm saying. You know, the only danger that I saw from Salah and Nunes was when Salah put him in and put him right in front of the goal. But there wasn't a lot happening. But those games, just people have to understand, this game is so big and it doesn't get played like this. I rarely see that.
To your point about Palace, I think Klopp will have thought more about the Palace game.
Yes.
He said obviously it was nonsense what he said,
but he said this performance was better than the 7-0.
Yeah, but in terms of Liverpool not being at their best, he will have figured out more from the Palace situation than he will from this game. He won't take anything from this.
He didn't mean that, did he? The 7-0 comment. That's silly.
He meant something.
Whatever he meant, I'm just saying that.
No, I'm just bringing that up now.
No, you're just being trying to be clever.
I'm not trying to be clever. I'm just saying that was a silly
thing. Yeah, kind of.
Well, I can't tell these days.
What?
I can't tell these days.
Now, what does the title odds say now after that Liverpool draw, Manchester City draw, and another Arsenal win? Let's take a look at how we have it now.
This changes every week.
Well, of course it does. It's exciting. That's what you want. You want it changing every week.
Arsenal
5-2, Liverpool 11-4, Aston Villa 14-1. Manchester City still remain favourites. Jules, are you feeling better or worse off with your Arsenal hat on than you did this time last year, where you had a bigger lead over Manchester City, but you could argue that City weren't playing as they are now? Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, I think Arsenal fans have to like this more than last season. One, because they would have learned a lot from, like, Arsenal would have learned a lot from last season. Two, because a bit like Liverpool, this Arsenal team is top of the league, but still clearly has room for improvement, which is the same for City, by the way. It's not just Liverpool and Arsenal. Mm. City, I think, in a similar position. But even if you're not playing at your best, you're Arsenal, even if you still have things to sort out in your team, like a Kai Havertz, positioning / form, Martinelli maybe, who's not as good as he was last season at this stage of the season, for example. Defensively, you're solid. Saliba is the best defender in the league right now. You're even with the Ryan Ramsdale debate, discussion, all of that, you're still top of the table. And you were very impressive against a Brighton side that was decimated by injuries and obviously clearly very tired after the Europa League. But still, it was a very good win. So of course you take this and you feel like you are in a better position now than you were maybe at this stage last season. Even if you were flying last season, there was a feeling that you also picked really early last season, which in the end turned out to be true, because when City kept winning and winning and winning, you stopped winning. So I think any Arsenal fans would take this now, but knowing that the others are going to improve and going to get better, City and Liverpool, I think Villa are already at their best. I'm not sure they can play much better than that anyway. But for you, you need to improve. Certainly you do if you want to win this title, but you also know that Liverpool and City, and maybe even Spurs, will keep going and will get better and better and better. So you will have to raise your game every time, starting by Saturday, of course, when you go to Liverpool. But I think Arsenal fans will be quite happy with where they are right now, considering how the season has gone.
Mario, who in your opinion is more likely to win the league, Arsenal or Liverpool?
Oof, that's such a tough one. Oh, man, after the weekend, I think you can give a better answer. But yeah, this game is so beautiful to watch this weekend. But I still think, I always question the character of Arsenal. And it's been there for years. Last season, I was like, oh, they have to win it, you know, because of the leading in the points difference. But, oh, Liverpool, man, they bounced back so well. So I might have to drop to the Liverpool side.
Where are you going, Ali?
Well, I would say that I would, in regards to the question you asked, Jules, I would be more uncomfortable this season because Liverpool is in the picture this season where they weren't last year. It was Manchester City and it was you if you're Arsenal. Now there's another player in town. There's another team that could very well win it. And so when you have another competitor in the race, you may focus on Manchester City because they're the perceived favorites. And when Liverpool is over here saying, how about us? We can win this thing. As it pertains to Liverpool and Arsenal, going into last weekend, I would have said Liverpool clearly. Going into this weekend, I'm still saying Liverpool, but not as clear.
Right.
I like Liverpool and the makeup of Liverpool. And I think the context of and the history of recent success for Liverpool much more so than I do Arsenal.
This game's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Arsenal.
It should be.
Of course, next in the Premier League for them. Just a word on Manchester City, Mario. Why can't they defend anymore?
It's not because they can't defend anymore. I think that they dropped the tempo. Oh, you know, I think when you watch City is that good when they have the ball, they control the game. But then sometimes they get too comfortable in the sense of like, finish the game off. When you don't finish games off, things like this happen. I know, okay, the situation with Foden, what happened, he didn't see the guy coming, so he kicked out. But it doesn't matter. Finish the game off, and then it's done. And I think they let it dwell on for too long, and they put too much pressure then on the back. And when the back gets too much pressure, when you don't produce at the front, that's when the problem comes.
Aston Villa, of course, it stands level on points with Liverpool, 1 point adrift at Arsenal. Away from their brilliant comeback at the weekend, there's been one person that's been grabbing the headlines once again, who I imagine is someone you'd like to kick quite a lot with some of his shenanigans on the pitch. What's your make?
It's not a surprise, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not a surprise.
He's renowned for it.
It's hey, there's a one Mississippi.
Yeah. And then this kicks off a whole thing now here.
But you know what? It's the sort of guy that if he's in your team, you love him.
Yeah. Which is the better tie, Ali?
Yeah. Oh, the first one, because let me just tell you that the first one, Emiliano Martinez, actually thinks about it. He thinks about it. He gets touched, and then again, there's like a second count. There's like a one Mississippian said, wait a second, I could actually dive here. Hey!
Yeah.
You love to have him on your team.
Yeah, that's it, Mario, isn't it? You'd love to have someone like that on your team, just not as an opponent.
It's so true what Ali says. You want him on your team, but against you, oh my God. He's, you know, he's activated something now that everybody's looking for him. And I think I didn't want to see that because, look, sometimes people are looking for a player when he's not good, but he is having a great season. Some of the saves he's making and how he's dictating and keeping them. Villa is playing incredible football, eh, guys? And that's not only down to the way, okay, Watkins is scoring the goals for them, but at the back, you have to have a defensive line that is controllable in the sense of making sure everything is happening. And he's, but then he does things like this. He does not even need it. That's the whole thing. Playing that good, you don't need it. Stop. You're that good. Stop. People just want to see your goodness. Stop it.
It's hard not to enjoy it, though, isn't it?
Of course, yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. From a neutral's point of view, it's all pantomime. I'm not sure if you remember, Jules, but a year ago, Martinez what was he doing?
Making a save?
Was he denying Muani?
Yes.
I don't know.
A year on, Jules, are you over it?
Can you remind us? No, I can't hear you. I have to go. I can't hear you anymore. The line is really bad.
Wait, Jules, before I let you go, one more question, because I've just seen on Extra Time, you're not on Extra Time, but I'm intrigued to what your answer would be. If you're Arsenal, what would you rather win? The Champions League or the Premier League?
Oh, that's a good one. I think they'd be happy with either. Obviously, the Champions League, they've never won it. They lost the final in 2006
in
Paris.
Which one do you want, Jules? Don't give me the gap answer. Give me the Jules answer.
I think they would be really happy with either.
They're two very
prestigious ones. I don't know if you're not Jules.
Yeah.
Well,
you're not Jules.
I don't understand why he's thinking priority twice
would
about
be the
it.
Premier League. Premier League.
Here you go.
I don't know.
Right. He's not sure, though.
Cheers.
We got to answer the question in extra time, so you save yourself.
Yes, thank you very much. Jules, thank you, mate. Much appreciated. As mentioned, extra time coming up a little later on. You can always catch it over on our YouTube channel. Carabao Cup action for you on ESPN Plus over the next 48 hours. We'll be focusing on Chelsea against Newcastle. That game kicks off at 3. Our coverage is at 2:30. Also that day, Port Vale against Borough, Everton, Fulham. Stevie on his Christmas holidays be able to watch us as we take you through Liverpool against West Ham, Stevie.
Yeah, watch the Liverpool reserves against West Ham's first team.
Well, that's what we're trying to sell it, Stevie. That's not great.
Thank you, Stevie.
Yeah. That's it. That brings us to the end of the day show. Just a moment to address it. It was Crespo who scored that goal.
Crespo, beg your pardon.
There you are in the. What happened in that Champions League final?
Oh, sure.
Well, stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali's here, Stevie, Mario. Now, I just want to warn you, if you're eating, maybe just put that aside for a couple of minutes as I show you a couple of. Couple of photos which may not sit comfortably on your stomach.
Oh.
Because it's holiday time, isn't it?
Okay.
Everybody likes to treat themselves.
Yeah.
So, what does Mario do? Look at that!
What?
Getting his feet done.
Getting his feet done.
Oh. Oh. We all need a bit of help sometimes.
Look at those.
That's a lot of help.
Stevie needed. Stevie, Ali, you know what happened to those feet, man? They're not cute, but we all need help.
Yeah, they're not too bad though. They're pretty straight.
Now, what happened when we saw that picture? It reminded us of another picture that one of our pundits posted a few years ago.
Oh no! Oh no! Stevie! Stevie!
I'm looking at the color on those feet.
That's not right. The color is just
now, Ali,
not right.
Do you remember the story as to why he posted that?
Right, because apparently he was losing weight.
Yes.
And
2 or 3.
Yeah, he wanted people to sponsor him to lose weight.
Correct. To support him. Yes, I remember.
It looked like a good idea at the time.
It didn't last, Mario.
No.
The heady days of 2 or 3.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Those are the days. If you took your feet in to get them done, do you think they would just say sorry, sir?
Yeah. No, they're an awful mess.
Yeah. I agree with Stevie, man. Sometimes they look at you, I'm telling you that. Sometimes they look at you and say, what do you want me to do? And I say, anything you can imagine.
Anything can help.
Mario, them big toes are pointing the wrong direction, Mario.
I don't care. Hey, they've done a lot of great work for me. I'm happy. I'm grateful with them.
Okay, let's talk some soccer. Ali, who is worse defensively at the moment, Barca or Manchester City?
I'm going to say Barcelona.
Yes.
I honestly think, and I mentioned this over the weekend, I think you can put a compilation video of Barcelona and how they defended this year and show that to kids as to what not to do defensively. Examples of every variety of goal that they've given up, and it's everything that you can do wrong, they're doing wrong defensively. 1v1, structurally, shape, individual mistakes, group mistakes, turnover, passing the ball out of the back. There's everything and anything that you want. They are covering the whole spectrum right now.
Mario, we asked this during the show to Jules. I'm going to address it to you now as a player. If you're Arsenal, what would you prefer, the Champions League or the Premier League?
I go for the Prem, you know. I think they definitely focus on that. I know, of course, everybody will say they haven't won the Champions League yet, but come on, they've been so long waiting. The last season, look how close they got last season. So why would I not say now, we're going to go all the way? That's why, for me, Premier League 100%.
Premier League, Ali?
Yeah, that's the bread and butter.
Right.
Win your league first. Whatever happens in the Champions League, you take it, I think, as a very expensive bonus, but bread and butter is the Premier League.
Yeah, I think if you asked any of those Liverpool players, I'm sure there'd be a couple that would probably go
Liverpool.
Against. Yeah. He's doing it again.
Okay. Oh, no, finish your sentence, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No.
So usually a good idea, that.
Okay, go on then.
Let me finish the sentence, right. Daniel.
Sorry.
I would guess, absolutely, I would say 90% of the Liverpool players, as steeped in the history of beating Milan and penalties, coming back from 3-0 down, 90% of them would take the Premier League over that.
Oh, do you think so? They trade it in despite it being a glorious moment in Liverpool history.
I think if you ask Steven Gerrard today, he would take the Premier League over that.
Wow.
Over the Champions League.
So he would turn in this slip, right?
For the Premier League. I think he would.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a good point, Stevie.
He didn't have a lot of confidence.
No, but he thought you had misspoken.
He doesn't let you finish.
Yeah. Well, then, sometimes you get the wrong end of the stick.
He should have learned out of today's job.
Who progresses to the quarterfinals from the two somewhat interesting ties, Mario? Inter against Atletico. Who have you got?
Atletico.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tricky one because I think they're
upset. People think we're
anti-Italian
on this show, so they're going to get angry at you for saying Atletico.
Yeah, but I cannot care about that. That's not my job. My job is to answer the question.
Exactly. Answer the questions. Get your feet done.
When I play the game, do you think I thought about the emotional side of my opponent? Come on, my friend. I want to win. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking. I was disputing it. But now that you said that to me, Atletico, there you go. And I love Italians, but Atletico, there I go.
Doesn't sound like it. Ali?
Well, if we're going to have this narrative of anti-Serie A, anti-Italian, I'm going to tell you Atletico Madrid. And I just told you Barcelona is putting together a video of how poor they are defensively.
Yeah.
But the game is 2 months from now. I'm taking Barcelona.
Stevie?
Enter.
Are you okay?
You want some pasta? You want some pasta, my friend?
Why are you winking? What's happened?
If you don't get it, I'm not. Never explain it. And if somebody doesn't get it.
Napoli, Barcelona, Stevie?
Napoli.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think you can wait to fix the problems at Barcelona. I've got
no
offensive.
You agree? Mario, Napoli in Barcelona?
I hear you, Steve.
Yeah. You know, because it's a couple of months ahead, so I might go for Barcelona.
Yeah. There we go. How do you like PSV's chances against Dortmund, Mario?
PSG's chances against
PSV.
PSV. I thought you said PSG. Yeah, no, PSV. No, I think Dortmund is a step ahead. I mean, look, PSV leading the charge here in Holland. They're playing great football. It looks really great. And I think they're going to win the league in Holland. But when they face Dortmund, I have a feeling that, you know, they're playing actually against someone that played for them before, for Malen. But I think Dortmund's got a step ahead of them.
Mario, do you like to play on the holidays or prefer to spend time not doing anything football related?
Oh, I like playing football. I really don't care what time it comes. Yeah, I think if you're a real footballer, it doesn't matter when the ball rolls to you, you're going to kick it. It does not matter. And if I'm on holiday and some people are playing whatever, and I can join in, cool. But do I want to do the running like I did before? No, my friend. Thank you very much.
No running, just kicking.
Right.
Ali, your son's back, isn't he? He's at college playing soccer. Do you have pickup games in the background?
Well, he he had a pickup game yesterday, but I had to work. Otherwise, I would have gone with him. However, as you know, I have a Moreno Mental, the stadium in the backyard.
Yeah, awesome.
And what's important about what's important about that is that it's big enough to have the game, but small enough to curtail the running that Mario is talking about.
So 2-on-2 is the optimum, yeah?
Yeah, you get your touches on the ball, but don't get crazy.
Right.
And if you play 3v3, then you run even less. You get touches on the ball, and you don't have to cover as much space. So there you go.
Can you score off the side?
No.
No, not allowed?
No, we're not doing that. No.
Okay.
No. We're trying to keep it as close to the real thing as possible.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is Stevie's last program, so you go on Christmas holiday, Stevie. Are you excited? Put your feet
absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely, yeah, I can't
yes.
Yeah, delighted.
Lovely. Have you got Eleanor anything for Christmas?
No.
Will you?
No.
Oh.
Wow, well, that's romantic.
No, we don't do Christmas
presents. She'll get you something for sure, 100%.
We get more pleasure, Dan, of giving to others than we do
she giving. Will give you something, Stevie.
No, she won't.
She definitely will.
No, she won't.
Well, she gets you something for your birthday.
Yeah, but that was the reason for that.
What was the reason?
Because she was away.
Okay.
She was at her mate's.
Right.
That's the reason she got it.
Okay.
So just, I'm not quite there yet, Stevie, but when did you guys quit caring about giving each other gifts? I just want to...
I wonder who initiated that conversation.
I can't remember.
Mario, did you still buy your better half gifts for Christmas?
I always, you know, what I do, I try to go on dates with her all the time, and she's very happy because, you know, when you keep her happy at home, it makes it easier for you in life. So, yes, I'm probably going to buy her something, but what? Not yet picked anything, but she's getting something.
It'd be thoughtful.
This year, usually I get some coaching as to what I need to go get my lovely wife, right? And she
you
puts
mean bold.
Yeah, essentially, there's a list of things that she comes up with.
Okay.
And go get this. This year, I said, you know what? It's got to come from me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm taking a chance.
Wow.
I'm living dangerously.
Like romantic. Oh, boy, yeah. I never saw that.
It's got to come from me, and I've got to do the research, and I got to go get it and wrap it and all that stuff. None of this list that is already pre-made. The problem about this is that maybe I got it wrong.
No, but you made the effort. That's all right.
Will that be recognized as such?
It's better than what I got.
What was that?
What did you get?
Don't worry about me this year. I don't want anything.
Oh, no. Oh,
trap.
Oh, that's a trap.
Trap.
Yep,
exactly.
Minefield.
But you said you didn't want anything.
Minefield.
Oh, yeah. Dad. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Indeed. Oh. Right. Final question. Ali, does your family make halakas?
Okay. Ayakas. Ayakas.
Ayakas for Christmas. What are some of everyone's favorite Christmas dishes from back home?
And if my parents were visiting and my mom were here, absolutely, 100%.
Well, why doesn't Melissa make them?
Because it's a Venezuelan dish, and we're not quite there yet. She's from the Carolinas.
Get her the ingredients as a present.
Here you go. Can you fix this?
I'll find it on YouTube for you.
There you go. Perfect.
Send them the link.
What could possibly go wrong? Oh, your mum could FaceTime her and tell her exactly how to do it.
Oh, yes. I'm sure that's going to go over very well. It's actually a very sort of intricate process of how to fix a ayakas. It's actually an assembly line of things.
What is it?
So it's kind of like a tamale. It's so cornmeal, corn dough, with stew meat inside, and it's wrapped in plantain leaves and boiled. Mm. And the key of it all is the taste and the quality of the stew meat that you put in it.
Right.
Because then the flavors seep into the corn dough.
If that's not cooked properly, then everything's ruined.
Correct. So you got to get the stew meat correct. And what I remember as a kid and being an assembly line was somebody was in charge of spreading the dough, then you pass it on. Somebody was in charge of putting the stew meat on. And then as I remember, my dad walking around with strings around his neck because he would be in charge of tying it all up.
The plantain.
Yeah, the plantain leaves. And so it's a very Venezuelan thing, but it all hinges on the quality of the stew.
Yeah, it's the same in Scotland. Someone's got to unwrap the Mars bar. Someone's got to put it in the fryer. Someone's got to eat it as well.
If you leave it in for too long, it's ruined.
And I also say this, and I don't want to take this too long, but It's very specific to what your family did and what how they fixed the hallaca. So I could cover my eyes now, and you put three hallacas in front of me, and I know which one is my mom's.
I see.
And that's the one that you want, because maybe other people can get a little bit more creative.
Melissa.
Babe, it's all right. I'll get you presents. Don't you worry. Don't worry about the hallacas.
Mario, what food do you associate with Christmas?
We like we put like meat in the oven, prep it nicely. Most likely it's chicken. We do fried stuff, but banh mi is like a big Surinamese dish. It's like a pasta with chicken. You may want to go eat, my friend.
His hands are going.
Some big old hands, right?
Then hands are going.
We have also one more. We have roti. Roti, I'm gonna tell you, is the Indians eat it a lot, but it's like a curry with chicken. With a nice potato. Oh my God. Listen, my friend, Dan, look, I'm telling you, all of you, when it comes to eating, I am the first thing. I love food. Don't worry about that.
I can see love that with food. The hands.
Yes. It's all expression, Chief.
I like it. I know. He's not that happy.
The whole show, he's just come like this. You put food
Steve,
on the tail.
Come on, Steve. This is when a brother gets some great food, he gets very happy.
When are you happier, Mario? Eating or getting your feet done?
No, eating
while getting your feet done. That's it. Combine the two. That's perfect. Stevie, what do you like about it's mincemeat, ground beef? It's a Christmas dish. Of course,
depends. It depends if we've got a house full or not.
Right.
We don't have a house full. It's mince and tatties.
Okay. And if you do have a household tradition,
well, I've got
turkey.
To eat what everybody else has got.
Oh no, what a disaster.
Boom. They come to my house.
Yeah, don't go to my house. That is it. We are done. Have a lovely time, Steve. You'll be missed over the festive period.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, you will, most definitely.
Yeah, you're lovely. Who are you going to interrupt?
Lovely to have you here.
Merry Christmas.
Good that Craig will be here with the Christmas spirit.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Cheer us
yes.
all up. Don't worry.